Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. As always, I am your eternally sick host, Michael Patrick, and you are listening to the podcast that likes to give a little time in the spotlight to those that are a little lesser known than their rock star cryptid counterparts. Last week was a dark week here on the podcast, and it gave us a bit of a chance to stabilize life and just take a few minutes to take some deep breaths and really recollect ourselves. As a friend really loves when I say sometimes on the podcast or just in life, sometimes life just happens. And in this case, that was incredibly true. With a house full of people and with a large, hairy, bipedal primate to take care of, illness strikes a lot. So we're a little under the weather, as we're literally everyone else in the horde. So, you know, it just happens. But, with that being said, we are back this week, and we are going to dive right into this week's cryptid. So this week's monster is a relatively unknown cryptid, but it's described as having one of the largest, if not the largest, monster hunts in the history of the United States. This week, on the Monsters and Friends podcast, we're taking a trip to the Midwest. More specifically, we're going to head down to southeast Indiana, and we're going to be talking about our good friend, the Milrace Monster. A lot of times we see cryptids existing through a fairly large window of time. We hear stories about Native American tribesmen seeing these things out on hunts through the woods, or even occasionally you'll hear a story about explorers encountering them along their adventures. This week's cryptid, however, isn't one that has really been seen all that long, but he has definitely made quite a large impact. Some have called the Milrace Monster the Indiana Bigfoot for fairly obvious reasons. He's a broad-shouldered, hairy, bipedal creature, but let's be honest. That's like saying that me and Bradley Cooper are the same person because we both have beards and we're incredibly handsome. Of course, he couldn't host a podcast as good as I can, so... Yeah, bring it, Bradley. Anyway, back to the subject. The Milrace Monster. So the Milrace Monster is similar to Bigfoot, but it has some key differences. Before we get into that, let's talk about some of the similarities first. Much like Bigfoot, the Milrace Monster is a fairly tall creature, being somewhere north of 6 feet tall, but by most accounts closer to 7 feet. The Milrace Monster is also known to be quite hairy as well, and it has large feet. The key differences that we spoke of, however, are that it was reported that the Milrace Monster had a bit of a greenish hue to it instead of the normal drab brown color that Bigfoot is known to have. Not only is it green instead of brown, but it's also got a nice layer of slime on its face, and it's been known to have very sharp claws, you know, all the better for flaying you with, my dear. Terrible. So, while the Milrace Monster seems like it could be a best friend to Bigfoot, they're probably running the same circles, or at least walk slowly with a large gait. They seem to be two very different creatures. We're going to talk about the when and the where, but first, let's take a little break. Let's talk about the when and where of the Milrace Monster. First, I think it's important to know a little bit about the area. So, the area around where Milrace Park is, well, it's not exactly known to be paradise. During the 1930s through the 60s, the area was known to be an area that wasn't really known for its glitz and glamour. It was an area that was in fact known to be a haven for rodents, disease, and absolutely terrible, almost uninhabitable housing. The area was built in a floodplain, so whenever it rained, the houses in the area suddenly got indoor pools that bred lots of terrible little bugs and, of course, attracted other creatures as the flood waters subsided. It was an absolutely terrible place to call home. The locals actually called the area Death Valley, and, you know, they're very similar minus the fact that it wasn't dry or hot, but rather quite wet and gross. However, in 1963, the town bought the area and it turned it into the first version of the Milrace Park, which was pretty nice and welcoming. Well, mostly anyway. At around 3 p.m. on November 1st, the nice welcoming park had a dark cloud that firmly planted itself over top of it. Four young ladies were out enjoying the November day when their lives were very much changed. As they enjoyed the November weather, one of the young ladies saw something that seemed out of place. She noticed a large creature hanging out by some trees near the boat launch. They saw the creature and they used their better judgment, deciding that it really wasn't something they wanted to investigate, and they left the park. Once they left the park, they made their way right to the police station and described their encounter as seeing a large, green, hairy creature watching them. Of course, the police, like the time, were very excited to do some work, and they were pretty skeptical at this point and said, okay. They didn't have much time to not think of it and really pretend like nothing happened. That evening, there was a second incident involving the hairy green creature. Two friends had decided that the fall weather was perfect, so they went ahead and took a drive down to Millrace Park. They grabbed some fast food along the way, drove on down to the park, and they just hung out chatting. Sounds like a great way to enjoy the evening, eh? Well, the Millrace Monster had some other ideas about this evening. As the two ladies enjoyed their royales with cheese, they noticed something come out of the woods. And it wasn't just something, it was something very large. It approached the car and decided that it wasn't a big fan of their choice of fast food, and the monster became enraged. It rushed the car and started to go berserk on it, banging on the windshield and trying to chew through the glass barrier. It scratched the hood up pretty bad, and it scared the bejeebies out of these ladies. One of the ladies in the car actually got a pretty good look at him and described him as follows. There was a greenish tinge to him. The thing's face, I don't know if it had been in the river drinking and it got moss on it because there was so much slime on its face. It did have fangs, and he was trying to bite through the glass, and I was afraid that he was going to tear the door off. Nothing has ever scared me so much as that. What I'm picturing is something that resembles old Greg, but with a much, much angrier disposition and much less of an affinity for Bailey's. Of course, eventually the driver was able to compose herself enough to get the heck out of there, and the ladies sped off as quick as they possibly could. Much like the first group, these ladies went directly to the police station to tell them of their encounter. And just like the police had done earlier in the day, they basically laughed at these girls. It doesn't sound like the cops really looked at the girls' car either, but the girls swore that something awful had happened to them. They said that the car smelled awful and that there was no denying the scratch marks and such that were all over it from this attack. Of course, the police did go to the park to look around, and I'll give you three guesses as to what they found. It starts with an N and ends with a thing. I'll wait here while you put it together. Anyway, what did happen as a result wasn't anything that the police did. The Republic newspaper actually printed a short article the next day describing what these young ladies experienced. The headline read, "Monster. Women report seeing beast in Millrace." A few days later, they reported another encounter with the Millrace monster, this time with two young men that went to the park searching for it. The newspaper wrote, "The Millrace monster has returned, apparently stepping out of the shadows Tuesday long enough to scare two park goers." County police reported two men in their 20s saw a large, hairy, quote-unquote, thing hiding behind the trees near the covered bridge at about 4 p.m., and again shortly before midnight. The men, who did not give their names, said that after seeing the monster Tuesday afternoon, they returned with binoculars that evening to get a better look. They told the police that the monster was found and eventually chased them from the park. So, long story short, the Millrace monster, he's not friendly. But wait, there's more. A few days later, a pair of city dog catchers were in the park with my new favorite excuse to get out of work. They were studying ways to get cats out of trees. Well, while they were doing this amazing work, they spied old Millie from about 200 yards away. Unlike the intelligent ladies in the beginning of this tale, one of the guys decided that it would be in his best interest to go ahead and chase down said monster. Luckily, he posed more of a threat than a car, and the monster simply took off. The two men then rescued some cats and shared their desire to come back and shoot Millie with a tranquilizer. What a brilliant decision on the part of these two gentlemen. Rick Duckworth, however, had his own theory about what the Millrace monster is, and we'll actually get into that in a little bit here. After this third encounter story was published by the Indianapolis Star, droves of amateur monster hunters actually flooded the area so they could catch a glimpse of this beast, or more specifically, they could catch it all together. They flocked to Millrace Park and they tried to find it. At one point, local authorities said that there were over 100 cars packed into the small park trying to find this monster. I'm no professional monster hunter by any means, but I'm going to assume that there's probably much better ways to catch a glimpse of a monster than joining, you know, 100 or so of your closest friends in large, probably smelly, and very loud cars. But as I said, I'm, you know, no professional here. At one point, however, things were so insane at the park that they actually hired a quote-unquote monster control officer named Kenneth St. John. And they actually ended up having to close the park at night, and they noted that it wasn't for the safety of the people from the Millrace monster, but it was instead protection from each other. Talk about bonkers. Ugh. There were a few more encounters as recently as 2015, not too far from Columbus, but once again, it reignited the discussion behind this Millrace monster. However, aside from a slimy, scratched-up car, there's not a ton of evidence to support this creature being anything other than either a hoax or a case of mistaken identity. Rick Duckworth, our resident dog catcher, had his own theory about what the creature was. He said that when he and his comrades saw it, it was no more than a man wearing a green mask and covering himself in a green blanket. There are some others who have shared a similar idea to this when discussing the creature, but, you know, while the area wasn't known to be a really amazing place to live, maybe this creature was just someone that had either lived in the area long before it became the beautiful park that it ended up as. Or, you know, maybe they just didn't like people being in the area, so they did whatever they possibly could to get them out. Reasonable, right? But, you know, maybe not, I don't know. It's very difficult to think of, you know, a dude in a mask and a blanket gnawing on somebody's car, but, maybe it's possible. But I'm not the most skeptical person ever. All right, I'll be the first to admit that. I'm pretty easy to convince things are real, especially when they're large, hairy, bipedal cryptids. This creature may be exactly what it was described as, though. There's a lot of Bigfooty creatures around the world, and especially all throughout the United States. Maybe this guy is like the skunk ape or the Missouri monster. It's some sort of bipedal primate that's evolved to adapt to the area that it calls home. Is that beyond reason? To me, absolutely not. Think of where the area is. It was known as Death Valley, and it had a lot of floods and death and rats and icky stuff. This is the perfect place to assimilate to and hope that no one bothers you. It's brilliant! But is it real? You know, I can't say for sure. Yes. Sorry about that. What we do know for certain, though, is that it's a heck of a lot of fun to imagine what is in fact out there. I mean, who doesn't want to believe that there's a Swamp Thing Bigfoot baby running around the woods of Indiana? I do know one thing for sure, though. I will definitely be heading to Columbus in the next few weeks, and I'm going to go down to Millrace Park, and I'm going to find the Millrace monster. Okay, you know what? Fine. Let's be honest here. I'll probably find it, and then I'll end up pooping myself, and that'll be really sad for everybody. But you know what? I'll make sure that I tell all of you about my experience. I'll also tell you about this. We started a YouTube! Yeah. So there's currently only one video on it, and that's, you know, like right now as of this very second. But The plan is to use that medium to add some bonus content that may or may not consist of, you know, dramatic readings of first-hand accounts, maybe some sightings or reports of cryptid activity, and much, much more. Well, you know, at least a little bit more, but... And, do you love the pod, or, do you want to help out some and become a sponsor? If you do, feel free to send an email to monstersandfriends@gmail.com, and I would be happy to plug your product, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. If anyone knows anyone at Dunkin' Donuts, feel free to send them this spot, and maybe they'll give me some free coffee. Yeah. Or, I'm going to assume nobody knows anyone important at Dunkin' Donuts, so, I mean, you can tell the guy at the front counter about it and tell him to download the episode, I mean, whatever. However, if you, the listener, want to become a supporter of the show, you can head on over to Patreon and support us that way. Honestly, the easiest way to support us, though, is to subscribe, download, and listen to the podcast almost every Tuesday when it comes out. Also, big one. Make sure to tell your grandma about it, okay? I bet she'll love it. And finally, please make sure to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, and it helps us to climb up the ranks and get more amazing, wonderful, fantastic listeners. We've actually skyrocketed a fair bit recently in our listenership, and now I've got the itch to get to 2,000. You know, I mean, that sounds awful, but I promise it's only slightly contagious. You know what? So I put a winky eye in my notes here, but obviously you can't see it. So go ahead and look in like the side mirror or your computer screen and go ahead and wink. You know, wink. Anyway, feel free to head over to the website as well. It's monstersandfriends.wordpress.com. Eventually on there, we'll have a link to all of our social media stuff, including our Patreon and how you can get me free Dunkin' Donuts and stuff like that. So, but you know what? That's enough rambling for this week, folks. Thank you so much for visiting me out here in the cabin, and I promise we'll talk again real soon on the Monsters and Friends podcast.